Hi, this is Steve Compella from Golden Arrows. If you thought I was a son of the soil, check the real soil. Just listen to Sports Live with BBK. They don't come any darker. The darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. Sports Live with BBK.
It's a Friday, and you know exactly what that means. It means that it is a time for you and me to gather together and gather around this platform called Sport Live with BBK as we give you another podcast. And today, South Africa, it gives me great pleasure to say, they say dynamites come in small packages. And today I'm honored to have Thabo Nodada, the captain of Cape Town City, as my guest, the man from Ixopo. Thabo, welcome to Sport Live with BBK, and thank you for giving us the time to be with you today.
Hello, BBK. Thank you very much for giving me the chance to come on this platform.
I wouldn't have chosen any other man today. It's a great pity we are not in the same studio, because I would have wanted you to stand next to me so that I could see whether you reach my waist or just under my armpits, because you are a very tall man. Now tell me, Thabo, let's just start by making sure that we find out from you, between you and Thabo Mokeke at Cape Town City, who is actually the tallest or the shortest?
No, Tato is taller than me. Tato is taller than me, and that's why sometimes it feels like my father, and he pats me on the head and says, "Wake up."
Indeed. So do you feel like the baby Jake Matlala of the club in terms of height?
Now that you mention it like that, most definitely. I'm going to wear that to training tomorrow. That's the feeling I have, baby Jake.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, Thabo, you're playing away to Chippa United, a very important game in the Nedbank Cup quarterfinal on Sunday, and you're playing at the Nelson Mandela Bay Stadium. Chippa United held you to a 1-0 draw at home in your opening league match of the DStv Premiership. I think it was back in October. How do you see this game on Sunday?
Totally different. Totally different. It's a cup game. You only get one chance. Mm-hmm. You can't wait. You can't wait to respond. You can't wait to react. You need to be the one forcing the opponent to react. And that's exactly what we need to do in this game. I think we need to set our intentions pretty clear from the start. They keep possession just like we do, but the difference in this game will be the punisher. The one who punishes in the possession is the one that wins the game. And for both teams, I think this is a very exciting match.
Speaking of punishment, you really punished your previous opponents in the last 16, getting a clutch of goals. And that must be giving you confidence going to this match against Chippa.
Yes, definitely, definitely. It was a switch. It was a switch again from what I just mentioned, from it being one chance. The first half, we were too easy. We were too relaxed, thinking it's a normal league game you build in. We came back halftime. We had realized that if we don't do it now, we're never going to do it. And look what happened. We scored 4 goals.
Wonderful 4 goals, I must add. And again, you are also playing Chippa United. And this now is going to be on Wednesday afternoon. But I think too much chili. It's not good for you. It will give you heartburn.
Hey, we're going to get ulcers on this one because we are going to eat that chili.
Really? I was pelepele wa Sethekwini, but pelepele wa Inyoni, lo mncane. Uyababa mfana, but then that's Malisela will disagree with you when you say you're just going to be chopping up the chili.
No, we have to. He's got no choice. He must serve it real hot, because if there's one mistake and it's not hot enough, it will be burnt.
You will be banned indeed. Now, let's look at your form in terms of Cape Town City in the DStv Premiership. You've won only one game in the last 5 matches, Thabo, with 2 draws and 2 losses. That's only 5 points from a possible 15. That is not something that will make the captain of the Citizens to smile a lot, is it?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. We've had a real tough run in the games, you know, especially how we started with the 2 away in Joburg. Pirates, quick, in 5 minutes, they close the game off. Then we go to SuperSport, and we fight real hard. We fight real hard, and one opportunity for Gabuza in exactly the way we didn't want them to play.
Yeah.
And it and it happened. And then we come back, we come home, we play the football as normal. We get the chances. Now we're playing Morocco Swallows. They haven't lost, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a feeling like when we went to go play Golden Arrows, maybe we can do something. Maybe we can give them their first loss. And that was the feeling. That was the feeling. Went in the game. I get fouled in the box. We get a penalty.
Yeah.
And then as it's been normal this season for us to concede, you know, and find it very difficult to keep a clean sheet. We concede. We try again. They get the red card, but... credit to them. They're very resolute in their defending. But it just gave us a sign that we're not quite there. You know, whatever we're doing is not enough. And it's time for everyone to sit back, self-introspection, and to really see how you could fix yourself to help the team.
Now that you've mentioned Golden Arrows, they seem to have had a great start to this very maiden DSTV Premiership. What is it about them that you've noticed that seems to make them look so magical under Coach Mandla Ncikazi?
I think first is to look at the facts. You know, when a team loses a coach, especially to a higher ranked club, it forces the players to change.
Mm-hmm.
It forces the players to change, and I think how they've started is maybe just a follow through of all the stuff that Coach Steve had instilled in them, but maybe was too deep into it to let them come out. And now that he's out, with the elements all coming together, they look like a great team. They look like great friends off the pitch. They look like they're ready to die for each other, you know? And they go till the 90th minute. They go till the 90th minute. They don't give up. And those are qualities that have got nothing to do with how you kick a ball or how you pass. It's generally what you want and how you feel about each other.
Yeah. And given the fact that we are a country that really likes taking coaches from beyond the borders of the country, it is kudos. It is a cap, it is a feather on the cap, of Mandla Ncikazi that has been able to keep things formidable, because for many years he's been a man who has been serving as an assistant coach and especially working together with Steve Rompela. The fact that he's been able to hit the ground running and keep them in the top four, top five of the league and actually losing their very first game against you is something to be applauded, don't you think?
I agree. Not just keeping it formidable. They've never been in that state at this point in the league.
Yep.
And that is all credit to the man on top, the coach. He must get all the credit, because even when their previous coach was there, they weren't in this position and playing this type of football consistently. Now you don't know what to expect. One thing about them is they'll make it very difficult for you to score, and then they score. That's a difficult team, you know, that's a very difficult team. So all credit to the coach and the technical team and the players. They did a very good job.
Well, because you and me come from the great kingdom of KwaZulu, I think we will definitely applaud what is happening with Lamontville Golden Arrows. Abafana basithende ingane zabawashi. You are listening to Sports Live with BBK, and my guest is none other than the tallest man at Cape Town City, and is their captain. He's their skipper, Uthabo Nodata. Now, Thabo, after the cheaper game, Mfanagate, you are going to get a stretch of five games that is going to include Stellenbosch United, same Golden Arrows, Baroka, SuperSport United, and Kaizer Chiefs. With Stellenbosch, you beat them 2-1, and you beat Arrows 4-2, and Baroka, you drew 1-1. And with SuperSport United, you lost 2-1, and the same margin was the score for when you played against Chiefs. You lost 2-1 to them. How are you going to turn around this five-match stretch from what is currently the case with City?
I think one thing we have to first put out is that I don't think it's our football that's not making us win games. I think on any day we can dominate any team. It's the detail, small detail, in the player's mindset. Am I defending or am I going to win the ball? Am I shooting or am I scoring? You know, I think for us, it's just that mindset. It's players. It's the business end now. And in the business end, you've played 15 games in a stretch of 4 months. It's never happened before. People will start getting fatigued. The mind starts getting slower. And it's the will and the determination, you know, from the players individually and what they want from themselves. And I think we've done a lot with the team in terms of trying to trigger the mind and trying to make guys think a bit differently, you know, see things differently and start doing things differently, because that's all we need. So in the coming stretch of games, I'm not so worried. I take each one as it comes with the belief, not just alone, but with the team, that we can beat any team we play. And and hopefully this time we just win our small margins, which in turn will make us win the game at the end.
And winning those small margins will start against Stellenbosch. It is the Cape Town Derby.
Yes, yes. We haven't lost against them, you know? We haven't lost against them. And that's one thing to go into the game reminding ourselves, you know? I read something that said people who are not great because they've forgotten who they were, you know? So reminders like that. For the team to know, start of the week already. In fact, we don't have time for that because we play two games in 4 days before we go play the game against Stellenbosch. But it's very important to remind the guys that you haven't lost against these guys. So for you to lose now this time, it means you are not your normal self.
Yeah.
So going into the game, we are looking for our normal selves as possible and letting the determination and the drive get the results.
But then, does it not leave the door ajar, the fact that you have not lost to them? Does it not open up just a tiny space in your mind to thinking, here is complacency. This is Stellenbosch. They've never beaten us. It's just a matter of making sure that we get there and we get our 3 points.
No, for sure. For sure. It is something that plays in your mind, you know, but you have to channel it. You have to worry about it, because if you're going to worry about that more, then you are going to forget the arrogance and the confidence that comes with they've never beaten us, you know? So both ways, I think works just perfectly.
That confidence that you are speaking about and that arrogance, which I'm going to make a new word when I combine them, which is confirogance, the combination of confidence and arrogance. It shines very much through on Cape Town City, because when you are in the mood, Thabo Notata, you hit the high notes with a glut of goals. I mean, 4-0 against Celtics, 3-2 against CS Galaxy, and 4-2 against Arrows, which totals to 11 goals in 3 matches, which is by any stretch of the imagination, a great return. But, and this is a big fat but, in the same vein, it seems like John Committees cannot close the gate, because you concede 6 goals in 3 matches. In fact, you've only kept 2 clean sheets in 14 matches. The 1-0 victory over Maritzburg United back in October and the 2-0 win over Black Leopards in January. I see worrying signs there. What is it about your ability to be able to be impressive offensively but depressing defensively?
No, it's worrying. It's very worrying, and maybe it's got to do with the fact that we do go and we're saying we're going to score. Probably all our minds switch to a mode where it's goal bound. Everybody go. We're pushing for the goal, and we forgot key things at the back, and we get punished. You know, it's been something that's been on all our minds, you know, and we work on it, we give it the attention it needs. At this point, you go in a game, and that's what you're telling yourself. That's what we're telling ourselves. Look, we are not conceding, we're doing whatever it is. Our defense, I don't know if you've seen our set pieces,
yeah,
for the past four, three games, in terms of defending set pieces, we have been excellent. Mm. We have been excellent. And the one game to show it was SuperSport. They had so many freak edges of our box, but we were winning everything. We were winning everything. We were competing. And that's a start. And now we focus on the game and the game situations. And we've managed to isolate certain situations where we're having the most problems. And it's just continuous work at this point. We understand that the day you plant the seed is not the day you reap the rewards. So if we keep believing that eventually we are not going to concede and we are going to score, because we don't have a problem scoring. The problem is when they come to us. But I think it's a work in progress. And like I said before, with players now taking more initiative into themselves, and how they themselves could better our situation, I think that alone will reap us some good rewards.
Indeed, and how you set up your stall, especially against SuperSport United, was impressive to the eye, because set pieces, free kicks, whatever you call them, is one of their main strengths. They really capitalize on that and they punish you. Kabuza and Khrobla and the rest, and the Teboho Mokoena taking those kicks as well directly, and Mbule also is capable of a mean shot.
Yes, no, against them you have to be really careful about the challenges and where you challenge them. You know, certain situations you need to let him pass, because if you foul him there, they're in a position to get a good cross in for either Bongani Kumalo. They have Khrobla, they have Kabuza, who are relatively tall guys, you know. But I would say big credit to our defense and my team for the way they handled that. I mean, even in the goal, it was just a miscommunication between the keeper and the defender. Otherwise, Kabuza wasn't low. Bradley Khrobla, who flicked the ball, was in a heavy duel. In fact, that was maybe 2 of 8 that he won. Otherwise, the rest of the game, he was getting challenges in the air, and he couldn't get the time and the freedom to direct his balls wherever he wanted. So when the task is there, and we know how dangerous a team can be in the air and with the transition, we adapt. And I think it's just about adapting each and every time and not choosing when to adapt, you know, having set keys that, okay, we do not concede and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Talking about not conceding, you better make sure that all the points you've just articulated to me right now, you do your homework very well, because Matsantsa Pitori are coming and they're also trying to make sure that they keep within touching distance of Mamelodi Sundowns, the defending champions of the DStv Premiership, who seems to be wanting to run away with this one as well. Now, Thabo, let's shift focus now and look internally and talk about what is going on at City. You've got, in my humble opinion, a lovely group of players at the club. I mean, Umduduzi Mdantsane is on fire. He's getting goals. I think he scored like, 9 goals for you already. You've got Usaprise Ralani, Craig Martins, just to name 3 that are capable of causing havoc on their day. And Mokeke does well in terms of making sure that he stems the tide in the middle with those mopping up operations and stuff like that. What is it about you guys? What is it about your group of players that are employed at Cape Town City that makes you tick the way that you do?
The talent. The talent is the talent. I'm very fortunate. I'm very fortunate. And this is maybe something that should go to the boss and give credit to the boss. The boss has a very good way of combining talent together, you know, and giving them a platform to grow each other through their talent. And that's what's happened at Cape Town City. Leaving him to out of it, he's relatively new. Surprise, Tato, I've played with these guys for 3 seasons, you know?
Yeah.
With Tara for 3 seasons, with Duga for 3 seasons, with Fakhri for 2 seasons. There's more than just the talent now involved. There's the camaraderie from being friends and teammates. And there's also the passion for wanting to win stuff, you know? And when we get out on the field from training, that combines and it makes it easier to play, because the player is willing, and beyond willing is talented enough to do some of the things. And I think that's what our key has been. You know, we've had some talented players who've been able to lift us up when we've got nothing going. And that's exactly what we need a talented player for, to be able to create something from nothing. And we have enough of those players. And now with that in mind, is combining everyone and giving everyone a structure that allows them to, you know, bring their talent up.
Indeed, because on a good day, you guys can wreak havoc against anyone of the other 15 teams in the league.
No, most definitely. We've done it. We've to almost any team, we've dominated almost every team in PSL. In terms of ball stats, at times in terms of the shots, in terms of the crosses, in terms of the passing, you know, finding moments, the detail. Like I said, the detail is maybe where we've lacked, especially playing against teams in the top six with about the same, if not better quality, about the same motivation, about the same passion, you know? Mm-hmm. We just lack the detail.
You've spoken about the 3 years that you've been with the club, and I'm looking at the coaches that you've had. Let's not speak about the current coach. We'll get to that a bit later. But let's look back at your time under Ebene McCarthy, at a coaching regimen of an Eric Tinkler, where you guys were able to reach two cup finals. You lose the one and you win the other. Just talk to me about the different working styles of those men who are former Bafana Bafana internationals, and you've had the opportunity to work under them as coaches. Maybe let's start with Coach Eric.
Coach Eric is about the transition. The transition from defense to attack, the counter-attack. We were very dangerous with the counter-attack in those years, and we used to practice it. Not that we got into the games and it was how you feel. No, we used to practice it, and you could see it in the movements. Guys were used to moving like that because we practiced a lot of transition. Our shape was very good. We had two sitting midfielders, and the front four, oh, they would fly all over the place straight from that transition. Yeah. Whereas when Coach Benny started coming in, he started worrying more about our build-up and letting the build-up lead from the back to the middle to the front. You know, I made an example the one time trying to describe how we used to play then. The ball would be able to move diagonally across the field on the ground. It would go from the right back somehow through the middle all the way to the left wing, you know, and that was the passage of play. We'd be able to move from here to here to here. Yeah. And then once we've pinned you, we create little combinations, we punish. But their times, I always say their times were different. And if you had to isolate Eric's time, Eric was dealing with a bunch of players who had just come out of a new city or had just come out of Joburg into Cape Town. That is a buzz.
From Mpumalanga Black Aces.
That change, that excitement, a new club. Yes, yes. And then in Benny's season, it's totally something new. Like, that's an addition. You know he's going to change everything, you know? He's never coached anyone. You guys are the first recipients. Cape Town is buzzing. The whole country is buzzing. A different situation. And then the new coach comes in now after having that coach leave. So that transition is going to be a bit bumpy. It's going to be a bit bumpy trying to understand the new information and filtering out the old. And we had our rough times. You could see in our results before we went into the bubble. But we got into the bubble. I think before the bubble, I think we were very well prepared. When we were at home with our families, our fitness trainers, our physios, our bios made sure that everybody stayed in good condition. We had programs. We had running schedules. It was really good. It was really good. And it showed in our form in the bubble. And not just our form, but in the amount of injuries we had. We had zero to nothing. You know, everyone was fit to play. Yeah. Everyone was in tip-top condition. And we won 5 out of 7 games, you know. And then something started building, you know. Something started building with momentum for the new coach, you know, with a point to reference. When you were like this, when you were at your best, this is how you were playing. That was in the bubble. And we took all of those. We didn't have a lot of time to prepare coming from the bubble. We took all of those. We ran it into the new season. And in the new season, you've seen spurts, but not consistent. You've seen 2-3 wins maybe, and then it starts a drop again and then a pickup, you know?
Yeah, yeah. We continuing with our conversation right here on Sport Live with BBK, with myself, Baringba to Gorgeous, and I'm in conversation, I'm having a chat. Nishai Ringas, nomfana wasexhopho, uTabo Notata, the captain of Cape Town City. Now, Tabo, before we go to the current coach, I just want to take you back a bit to the point you made about Coach Tinkler having to work on a transition, in the sense that before Cape Town City was born, there was Mpumalanga Black Aces. It was based in Mpumalanga, playing some of the games in Johannesburg, of course. But when the core group of players move over to Cape Town, what happens back in Mpumalanga is a river of tears from the perspective of the fans, in the sense that we've had this team here. It's our team. It's our provincial team and everything else. We swear, you know, by the blue and white colors. And then it goes to Cape Town. One, when that happens from the perspective of the players, what is the feeling like? And second to that, when you get to Cape Town, how do you as players help in the building of a new fan base?
No, you're shocked. You're shocked when you find the news, when you hear the news, you are shocked. Mm. I mean, this happened to us on holiday. I at the time have just finished my first professional season in the PSL. So the news are going to arrive to me the latest. Maybe the older guys knew in advance because maybe they were in communication with management, you know. But for me, I was on holiday. I was at home. And I first saw on the news the club has been sold. Then I get a call. I need to be in Joburg 2 days after to meet the new boss. You know, it was a lot. And it was also kind of difficult losing those fans, because even though we had to travel four hours to get to Mpumalanga to play our games, those fans came out, you know, they really came out, whether how small, how big they were, but they came out and they showed a lot of love to a team that was using a name, Mpumalanga Black Aces, but not based there, you know. So it was really touching to leave, and we had developed relationships with a lot of the fans because the group was small, you know, and it was very tight. Then you move to Cape Town, and it's a whole different situation because you are stamping on someone else's foot who is already there, who is being the only shining or only dominant team, which is Ajax. And here you are a bunch of Joburg, normally based boys, in this new city, in this beautiful city. Beautiful, you know, for quite a lot of us, it had been the first time being stationed in Cape Town for longer than a week, you know, first week.
You've just gone there for a game, and then afterwards you packed your pace wherever you came from.
Now we were here for a whole week, whole month, and it was exciting. I will not lie. It was very exciting. Even the things that the chairman had planned. You know, I'll make one example. I don't know if you remember the straight caps.
Yes.
The bucket hat. I remember when the club was being announced, and that's how we'd show we are the players. We had that cap and every player was wearing it. Mm-hmm. And then you fast forward 2 months down the line, you're looking at the stadium, and every third seat, someone's wearing a CTC cap. Someone's wearing a CTC cap. That is something that was launched 2 months ago, and already within 2 months, it was exciting. It was very exciting to be underdogs who you expect nothing from, but they are delivering week in, week out. Like, you, it's new, you know. There's nothing to live up to. There's no expectation. There's no pressure. Whatever you go and do is literally enough. You know, you and the teammates around you define how good or how bad you want to be. And just how it all formed up was just amazing to be part of.
It was like you guys were artists. You'd just been given a blank canvas to create something magical.
You nailed it. You hit it on the nail.
I work with words. It's my job to hit it on the nail.
Corey, what was the other one? The other one was
you spoke about the confidence at Cape Town City and the arrogance that you guys had. And I just felt a moment of magic overwhelming me to say that I must create a new word, which is a combination of confidence and arrogance. And the word is confirogance in Panam. Now, let's fast forward now and talk about the current position. When I first saw your coach and I did research on him and I pressed images on Google, my word, I saw a man who is a rock star from bygone years. That hair of his, the jeans, the boots, and the white shirts and stuff like that. Just take me through the personality, the character of the man who is in charge of Cape Town City right now, whom my son struggles to say his surname.
First, I just need to put out there that he is the funniest man besides Tara. he is the funniest man in that change room. The coach has so much humor and so much wit. If there's one thing I can give him is how he is able to take the pressure off with just a laugh or a smile. You know how he manages to put a joke in very tense times to ease the nerves. Coach Jan. It's been a very enjoyable experience with him because it's a different type of coaching. It's a different type of coaching. It took not just only me, but I think a lot of guys time to understand the coach. And I'll make an example with analysis. With analysis, the space is there, right? So the space. Make an example. The space is between the left back and the left center back. I will show you that at training. I will show you that at training. I will show you that in the video. But you, the artist, and you, the player, must be able to take that information and while playing, give that ball.
Yeah.
That's one thing. He has placed a lot of responsibility on us, and that's why you see surprise coming off the way he does. That's why you see Tato coming off the way he does. That's why you see Mdu coming off the way he does. He's given the players enough freedom within their roles and within the structure of the team. You know?
I know surprise
wants to tuck in and then play a 1-2 to isolate a defender 1-on-1. But I will show surprise that after he's tucked in, that is the perfect ball. The responsibility is now on surprise. Are you going to play that ball or are you going to still beat this? And it took time. It took time to understand that because normally with some coaches, it's set. With some coaches, it's set. With certain situations, when you turn that man, that's the only place you're playing that pass. And if it doesn't go there, you have messed up, you know?
We
are used to coaches like that with rigid structures, you know. Ball is at the center back. I don't care what kind of skill you have, you are kicking that ball away. And with Jan, it's been different. And it's taken time for players to understand. And now with better understanding, especially in the bubble, that was the time where I think we understood it to the T because we were together for the longest of time.
Yeah.
There was more time to go over certain things and to fully understand it. And I must say I've learned a lot in this way of coaching, you know, in this way of coaching, in giving guidelines and showing you and seeing you and giving. I'll make another example of details.
Please do.
Small details that you may not pay attention to, but if you execute, you'll realize a ball is coming. Say Tato is going to pass me the ball. You've been watching a lot of my games. I don't get free time anymore. Before I even receive the ball, pressing me like an idiot, you know?
Sure.
Here's one detail Jan was telling me. He's like, if you let it roll and you control it with the forefoot out, you've given yourself a second to look. Look at players. The ball is coming, the pass is coming, and he intercepts it in front, right? He's already decided. Meaning the man is already reacting to what he's doing. But if you roll it out forefoot, the man has to wait.
And there's moments where you've executed it perfectly.
Yeah, he can't commit. And that is one thing I took into my game. And it started showing because now I have just a second to wait for the man to come so I can play the 1-2. Whereas if I take it before, now I need to worry about this man. But I've eliminated him with taking that touch out. I've eliminated him completely. I am free to now think. And that is some of the detail. That is some of the detail that Coach Jan has come with. And you could see it in our defending. You could see it in our defending with the anticipation of the ball. You know, a simple thing. He takes a pen and he says, if I'm going to drop this pen now, what position are you going to be in? You know, a player who is ready will already be crouching, anticipating where the pen will drop.
Yeah.
But a player who is not, is looking at the pen with his eyes as not preparing his body for the pen to drop. And it is the same in defending. The player who is already crouching, anticipating where the ball is going to fall, is 2 seconds earlier. Meanwhile, the player who is only ready with their eyes still has to coordinate their body to the ball.
For sure. And that, for sure.
And that is, those are things that are not very easy to adapt to, I must say. They're not very easy to adapt to. But once you open your mind to learning and you let him filter in you, they make a great difference in your game.
I love talking football with you, man. In case you're wondering who I'm having this conversation with, it is Thabo Nota, the captain of Cape Town City, the man who is very much aware of what it is that he needs to do on the field of play, as he articulates to us what Coach Jan is bringing or has brought to the table in terms of how they play at Cape Town City and sharing of information. Now, there's something that I need to talk to you about, and you know they say honesty is the best policy, right?
Yes.
I'm sure you are aware about the fact that you are a kind of player in South Africa today that is admired across the supporter spectrum. Am I correct?
Correct, yes.
Knowing that awareness, I know you've just renewed your contract, extended by 2 years.
Yes.
The question then is, the million-dollar question is, does that mean your chances, Thabo Nota, of joining Kaizer Chiefs are over?
No.
I have it on good authority that you are a wanted man at Naturena Village.
No, I don't think so. I think if they want the player, they know what they need to do. I don't want to blow my horn, but I don't think you can get me for free. You know, I think with the qualities I'm going to add to any team I join, they have to part with money to show their interest. And you know, John, you know, Mr. Comites, you know how he conducts his business. If they are looking for this player, they have to get a deal with Mr. Comites.
But would you be open if, say, Kaizer Motaung, Bobby Motaung come and break the bank and they bring the sack, say, for argument's sake, 20 million, and it's on the table, and John makes you aware of that, and you look back at Johannesburg, and you look back at Kaizer Chiefs and the state they are in, I think everybody who's worth their salt will know that there has to be some kind of a renewal, a restructuring, a rebuilding that takes place. Would you be interested in being part of that kind of project, Thabo?
Yes, it's a new challenge. It's a new challenge for me. I'd definitely be excited with a challenge like that. You know, with it tying with what I want for myself, and obviously with all the other avenues that I want to pursue myself closed. I think definitely. I've said it before, and I've said it at 21, at 22, at 24. I'm on the verge of turning 26 now, and I know my time is sort of coming to an end, but I'd still like to fly my wings, you know, and this is the season I have given myself a chance to do that. Upon that not happening, I need the new challenge. And what better challenge would it be than to play for a team that was your childhood dream?
A fan of Kaizer Chiefs, I was going to get to you that, and what you've just said now, when the people of South Africa listen to this podcast, those who are clad in gold and black, they are going to be swinging on the chandeliers, my friend, hearing you say the kind of things that you say. But what I like also is the fact that you are not shy. You are not shy to express your view. You are not shy to share your dreams. You speak about a new challenge. You speak about what you want for yourself. Tell me, what does Thabo Nota want for himself?
I want to go overseas, BBK. I want to go overseas. You know, look at all the players. Look at most of the players who have achieved the things I've achieved at my age. They've had to move to Joburg to do it. They've had to play in teams higher up on the log. I've played 100 caps. I've featured in Bafana. I've won 2 trophies. I've been in 3 finals, all at Cape Town City. You know? Yes, moving to another PSL team maybe changes the wage, changes the amount of eyes, changes the pressure, changes the competition. But it doesn't change everything. You know, for me at this point, I think I want a whole different thing. I want a whole different city, a whole different language. I don't want to be known by anyone. And I want a higher level of football and just something different. You know, I'm coming close to a ceiling, I feel. I'm coming close to a ceiling. And I think for my growth as a person, as a footballer,
yeah,
I need a complete new country.
Unfortunately, you can grow in every aspect, but your height will remain the same, Mpanagit, unless I lend you some of mine.
No, PBK, no.
I know you're dead. I know you're dead, so I can pull this one off. Right? You can never run away from this one. I'm loving this conversation. This is a great, great chat with Uthabo Notata. Now that you have mentioned Bafana Bafana, you know as well as I do that they are going, or maybe I should say you are going, in the event of you being selected for the upcoming AFCON qualifiers. Ghana are first up, and that's going to happen on March 22nd. The last time I checked, SAFA said they wanted to hold that at the FNB Stadium. Ghana and Bafana Bafana are tied joint 9 points at Group C, with Ghana being top because of a better goal difference. Ghana beat us in the first game. Ghana are coming home. Do we have it in us to team the Black Stars? The Black Stars are coming to a venue where, in 2010, you and I and millions other Africans and billions other people across the world saw Ghana do something magical, reaching the quarterfinals and coming within Luis Suarez's hand of the devil to reaching the semifinals. So they are coming. They are coming. Can we give to them what they gave to us in the first leg, which is a defeat? Because when that happens, it takes us top of the group.
We have more than enough. We have more than enough to beat them. We have more than enough in talent. We have more than enough in hard work. We have more than enough in determination. We have more than enough in facility. We have more than enough in structure. There's no excuse. There is honestly no excuse. That was 2010. We didn't have Percy playing where he is. Just painting situations as they are now. You have Percy, you have Keegan who is playing, you have Bongani Zungu who is a Rangers player. You know, you have Tyson and
That one must stop being naughty, Bongani Zungu.
I think he knows. I think he doesn't need to be told. I mean, to perform at that level, you know your do's and don'ts. And I think if it's just a mistake, then he'll correct it and he'll be back. I think he knows what's at stake, and he knows that he is shining the light for the next South African squad to go and play at clubs like Rangers. I think he understands the responsibility on his shoulders. And instead of bashing at this point, I think it's important we support, because we also know what's at stake. And we know the type of player and the type of quality and confidence that he adds into the team, you know. And I think if we are to carry on bashing and bringing him down, I think we are letting down our own national team, because we do need his quality.
I don't doubt that. I don't dispute his talent. In fact, I'm one of his biggest fans. But I think at the same time, if you are going to be pursuing the kind of dreams that you are pursuing, you do need to have the discipline. You do need to have a situation where you look at the fact that you came from Amiens, and Amiens was a team that was relegated in the French League, and you are still on loan at Rangers, and Rangers are chasing championship in the Scottish League. I think just knuckling down and making sure that you keep your eye focused on the ball and you continue with your dream, because you speaking about being 26 and getting towards the end of your career, if you are 29, you should be looking at that and be inspired also by somebody who's 26 like you, a Percy Tau, who has been able to be a model of professionalism. But as we wrap up with Uthabo Notata on this very wonderful platform, Sports Live with BBK, Sudan, immediately after Ghana on March 30, Sudan are coming. It will be nice for you guys to get into a plane going to Sudan, not chasing a draw, but if you beat Ghana, it will be a major step towards the goal of AFCON 22 in Cameroon.
Yes. I at this point, we shouldn't be looking at that Sudan game as a second chance to maybe do what we can't do against Ghana. And at the same time, can't be looking at it as a practice match or just a preparation match. No. Both games are very equally important, and this is the national team. The national team has never, you've never seen or you've never heard any of the fans. In fact, you yourself have never been a fan who's accepted anything but a win. in whatever circumstance, in whatever situation Bafana is in.
Sure.
And like I say, if the players that are there are 22 of the best players in the country, then I think every game should be a win. And that is the attitude I received when I was there. That is the attitude I got from the coaches and the belief I got from the coaches. And that is the attitude that I think each and every player who is called up will apply. We are fortunate, especially now coming off Corona. A lot of countries do not have the facilities and the opportunities that we have to be training while the country is in an epidemic, able to travel and to have things like the bubble while there's a pandemic. And that is all stuff that needs to work in our favor when we play. And I think it will work in our favor. I am very excited for what's coming for Bafana, I must say.
Your energy is exciting, and I hope each and every man that is going to be selected for Bafana Bafana 23-man squad is going to actually go into these last two games with the same excitement. Going back to the club quickly, I was watching the post-match interview of Tashik Morris with Julia Scott the other day, and he said something very revealing and very interesting. He says that he was only told on the bus on the way to the game that he was going to play, and what a way to respond. What a poiki responding with not just a man of the match award, but a hat trick. That's something special.
He's a fighter. He's a fighter. If you look at it, last season, he's playing behind or he's tagging behind one of the greatest strikers I've played with, Clement Erasmus, you know?
Yeah.
And he stays there. He stays at that level. He stays competing. He stays pushing Kermit. This season comes in. Kermit leaves. They get a new striker, Prince. Mm. He's battling with Prince. Then Prince leaves. Then you find Shonga.
Mm.
And in that game specifically, you're speaking about, Shonga was meant to start. And I think he pulled something. I was not sure what it was. And
during the warm-up stage, yeah.
He comes in and he scores a hat-trick. And just to show what a beautiful moment it was, maybe highlight it to you. If you look at the goal celebrations, oh man, the third goal was celebrated better than the first one. It was just beautiful to see, man. And it just showed that in his struggles and in him trying to get into the team can see and can feel. And when he does finally get his knot and he takes full advantage of it, the team responds. And they celebrate in that manner. It was beautiful to see. And we're hoping for him to be in those exact same spirits when we play Chipa again.
It is not called the game of billions for nothing. It is not called a beautiful game for nothing. And when those beautiful moments actually play themselves out, it is wonderful to see. And for those who are a bit emotional, it brings out a bit of a tear in the eye as well. One final question. There is a senior citizen amongst the citizens, he's from Alexandra. His name is Mpo Makola. What does Umfana Wentshebe bring to the team? What do you guys glean from his experience? Tell me, as we are about to part, about Mpo Makola and his influence in the city squad.
The most comfortable player on the ball I've played with. I've ever come across in whatever situation. I've never seen people run away from the ball. You know, people can lose the ball. Now he wants it again in second. I don't understand. I'm like, people, move away, man. Get some rest. No, bring it here. A grot man.
Yes.
This is the thing. You play 7 years at Pirates. You were captain at one stage. You were even captain of your national team. You played in AFCON. You played in the CAF.
Yeah.
So When someone comes to a team like that, I am moving off the chair for him to sit if there's not two chairs and one for us to share. Sit. Why are you standing? And it's confusing. I mean, people, I'm still to do the things you did 5 years ago. So it makes no sense for me to be sitting and you standing. Yeah, but we are competing now almost against each other. Your turn is coming. Come, sit. You deserve to sit. A friend. And Jengo Bushilo, Sure. Alex. Sure. You know the tricks. Oh my God, B-Boy is going to
This is the moment where I go. This is the moment where I go, Komora!
No, I'll just ask. I understand him, and he understands the cheap boys, and just a nice guy to grow up around now, especially. And for me, being in a situation now that he was in way before in his career, it gives me a lot of comfort knowing Ukuthi, I've got people like him who are guiding me on the steps that I need to take.
Yeah. NgesiZulu kuthiwa isikhathi sesidliwe yinja mfana kithi, but it brings a bit of sadness to me because this is a very wonderful conversation. You know, the thing about life is that there is too much pretense that goes around. Having been in this journalism business for the years that I've been in, you've seen change from players being themselves, from players not being shy to speak their voice, to say their say. You kind of like, even across rugby and cricket, you find that people have become choreographed. You know, they are coached. This is what you say. This is what you are not allowed to say and stuff like that, and so on and so forth. But whenever I come across, and I've refused the temptation to interview you. When the moment came at CT, I asked one of my colleagues, Usazi Hateb, to be the one who conducts the conversation. But given that we're trying to spread our wings, given that we live in a time where one must be able to make sure that we remain consistent, you know, because consistency must be the currency, and we'll be able to move on with new ways of doing things, podcasts and. This conversation highlights the fact that it renews my faith in humanity and just people being themselves. Thabo Dada, I appreciate you, and I have no other words to add to all the things that you've said, but to say, spread your wings, fly high, may idlozi lakini kwanodada nomvele ncangi wakho akusize ukufeza amaphupho akho. And those who wear gold and black will say one of those dreams that must happen immediately should be a transfer from Cape Town City to Kaizer Chiefs. I appreciate you, mfana kithi, uthando lodwa okuhle nokumhlophe for wena.
Babu BBK,
Thank you very much, man. All the best. All the best. Take care.